morning. I'd like to add my welcome to each and every one of you. We're very glad you're here. If you are visiting with us, as Jeff said, it's a little bit different this morning. This is the annual meeting that the elders have to meet with the congregation, the saints, and the members here. And just to go over some information we think that you really need to know. My part this morning is about the finances. And I do, and all the elders want you to know that our desire is to be as transparent as can absolutely be possible when it comes to money. Money is a source, love of money is a source of a lot of problems. And we want everybody to be aware of how we're using it, where we're using it. You can ask questions and eat any time you wish to. I'm not an accountant, so I'm not always going to be able to explain to you some of the things that happen to it, but I'm sure I can find you somebody that can if you have any questions. But this morning, we want to look at the 2012 money or the what happened with us in 2012, and then we're going to take a short look and look at what we expect in this year, 2013. And if you have any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer them later. I do have a handout. Or we have a handout for the congregation over the money that was spent last year, and you are welcome to one of those copies. First thing we'd like to look at is the contributions, obviously the money that comes in. We like to compare it with the years that have come and gone. Our weekly contribution in the year of 2010 was $3,739.95. In the year 2011, it jumped up to $4,007.35, and we use these figures, obviously, to look and see how we can spend money and how much we can spend money and the things that we can do. This last year, we averaged $4,162.06. We have a board over here that will show you on a weekly basis the money that is taken in or the contributions that are given to us. And some of you may think right up front, that looks awful high, but there are some monies that come in from time to time, not on a weekly basis, but this is an average. We did have a very large contribution at the first of the year in 2012, so it helped our average out considerably on what we received in 2012. As usual, as long as I have been here, the saints that sit in the pews here have been very, very generous, and they have always stepped up to any situations that we've had or requests that the elders have had and given freely, and we are very, very thankful for that, and we know that we're not the ones that are doing this work. We just happen to be the ones that are overseeing the work. We are the ones that are trying to lead us down a certain path, but it's the people that are sitting in the pews that are doing this work and giving of their money and the contributions and their time and their efforts. What we ended up having for the year of 2012, total contributions were $216,426.96. Our total expenses were $207,125.69, which left us, whoops, I thought we had a total there. We did right there. Bank balance total. We started off the year in 2012 with $58,121.84 in the bank. With what happened, we ended the year at $67,423.11. So our bank balance grew, in fact, in spite of everything that we did and the things that we were afraid we were pushing a little bit on. We had a net gain of $9,301.27. Next, we'd like to look at where our funds are used. We're not going to look at every penny that we spent last year, but we're going to look at the things that we think are very, very important in considerations and where the majority of the money went. The funds that we used to preach the gospel in 2012, Kyle, we spent or paid for his salary, obviously, and we had a preacher in training, but he was only here through June, so Jason Garcia was with us, and we were responsible for his salary up until the time he left to go to Odessa. In 2013, we are making an announcement, I guess, this morning. Andrew Dow will begin the preacher training program with us in June. That was the young man that was here over the holidays. We've been talking with him ever since and made an offer, and he did accept it. So we will have a preacher in training type program for the year of 2013, but it will be in the summer, probably in the middle of June, before we see Andrew. Funds used for outside support to preach the gospel. These are the gentlemen that we try to help support. We by no means are paying everything for them or not their sole support. We're just trying to help. We've come a long way over the last several years in trying to help and support people. Many of you know Javier Palomares. He works in Dumas primarily, but also here in Amarillo, Texas. He is a Spanish-speaking preacher. We started years ago supporting Javier. We've upped his support over a period of time, but we're very happy to have him. Also, Jim Blackman in Hereford, Texas, we do help him and have so for many, many years. Jerry Vinson in Greenwood Village. I don't think we started that this year, but he has been one who we have supported up in Colorado for a couple of years now, or maybe 2 or 3 years. And we will continue to help him and do what we can for him. Also, Jesse LaRue, a young man that came by here this summer and talked with us. We've been helping him. We met Jesse through a similar preacher training program down in Lubbock, Texas. And when he got through with his training program, he went to Germany. And we've been supporting him. We're trying to help out with his there. A lot of y'all got to meet him, and we were glad to see him again. Thomas Morris is a young man we have started supporting in Springfield, Missouri. Kyle knows him or knows of the place where he is working, and we felt it was very necessary and important to support the work in Springfield because the congregations there, there's not very many of them that are sound, and this one was small, and we have taken on trying to help him. Richard Thedford is a gentleman in Denver, Colorado. I think this is the first year we started with him, maybe the last year a little bit, but he is another gentleman we are helping. Brian Haynes was the full-time preacher at Tucumcari, New Mexico. In fact, we have Brian scheduled for a gospel meeting here in the near future. He has changed and went to Hillsboro, Oregon. We helped support him as far as his move is concerned. This was just a one-time thing, so it's not an ongoing process with us. I think he has plenty of support up there, but we helped him get there this last year. And Warren Schultz is a gentleman we met this summer. I believe it was this summer, this spring, this fall. I can't remember. It was this spring. This winter, this fall, sometimes. This last year, he's in South Africa, and we have committed to helping Warren out over there, and it was nice to get to know him and meet him. We have tried our best not to send money anywhere that we didn't know what was going on, and we've tried our best not to support people that we couldn't try our best to get to know, at least personally or through people who we trusted. And these gentlemen are the ones, there's 8 of them now that are out there that we are supporting, and that is a step up over the last 10 years or so than what we have done. Derek Chambers is one that we're supporting now in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And there's 2 congregations there as far as we know, but we also are supporting him. I guess that's the 8th one. The Brian Haynes is not a full-time support, just at one time. So that is one area where it's been going. Also, our total support for these gentlemen over the year of 2012 came to $26,428. We are looking for an increase. We have been supporting some guys and added to that. But our commitment for right now for 2013 is going to go up to $30,100 is what we're looking to help support men that are outside or away from Amarillo that we are supporting. The funds we used to preach the gospel, also we used money for gospel meetings as we do nearly every year, or we do every year. This last year we had Tim Norman from Searcy, Arkansas come in, paid for his travel and for the work he did. We also had Brother Wayne Moody come in from Kansas City. Same thing, we helped, we paid for his time and also his traveling expenses. In 2013, right now in the books, we do have a spring meeting with Dane Shepherd from Oklahoma City. He is going to concentrate on our praise worship or our singing. I look forward to seeing Dane here. And also in the fall, we have Norman Sewell, who is scheduled, and he will be coming to us from Arkansas. Our gospel meetings, the money that we have dedicated to this is not going to change a great deal. It basically will stay the same as we had last year. So our budget for 2013 that we're looking for, we're going to ask the saints here what it's going to take for us to do is $3,970. So basically $70 more a week is what we're putting into the budget. We do realize we have had some hard times as a country, and we don't necessarily see it changing rapidly. But that doesn't change the fact that we still have a great deal of work to do, and we have the ability, and we need to continue the work we have, and we feel quite confident that we can step up and meet these needs. The $3,970 is what it's going to take for us to continue the work that we have been doing, and we cannot do this work without you guys. There's no doubt about it. You provide it. We just oversee it. And we're more than happy for you to know what's there, and we're open to any questions that may be. We also do have a handout for those who are interested. It's on the little plastic deals on the back wall back here. It's on the south side of the building, the top part there. So if you're interested in knowing how we spend our money, this breaks it down a little bit more, down to cleaning and everything else that we have. So I'll let Jeff now discuss our statistics.
The only thing less boring than financials is statistics. Where do I start this thing? A review of our 2012 statistics relative to membership and attendance. We had 2012, we had four baptized versus zero in 2011 and three in 2010. Three were restored during 2012. Which we rejoice over that, as well as the baptisms. We had a fairly slow move-in. Kathy and I ran out of kids. All our kids moved here, and we just don't have any more. So, we had six move in 2012 versus 21 in 2010 and 11. We don't know what that's attributed to one way or the other. I don't know if the economy or what it is, but we had 18 move away in 2012 versus 11 in 2011 and 23 in 2010. Passed away, and we thought it would be important, and we had a member mention this to us, and we think it was really important for us to recognize these former members who are here who had passed away: Clara Beckel, Evelyn McFarland, Olin McDonald, and Everett Kelly. And we've certainly missed them. And then we had four that left the Lord. as most of you, I think, know, we meet at least once a week on Sunday afternoons. And we spend a lot of time. We spend a lot of time talking about tending to those needs of members who, to all of you, but those that may be a little weaker in their attendance. Don't want anybody to think that that's not something we're aware of. And because typically a slowdown in attendance can lead to falling away. And this isn't part of the script. I just felt like this was important for us to talk. There are members from time to time that have problems. They're weak in their attendance. They're weak in their faith. We try to become aware of those as early on as we can. And like I said a minute ago, their lack of attendance for worship is a pretty good signal of maybe the weakness in the faith. And because they're not here, and because they haven't announced that they've moved or they're in knowledge of them moving, doesn't mean that we're not attending to those people and trying everything we can to save that, to help to save that soul. So there are different issues that come up from time to time with certain people. And we don't want anybody to think that we aren't attending to that. I've been informed by my wife, sometimes when I talk like this, I sound like I'm defensive. I'm not defensive about that at all. We just hope that you will understand, and we hope that if you know of someone that we need to tend to, whether they be a family member or a friend, they're a brother or sister in Christ, if you would let us know, we would appreciate it, and God would appreciate it. And I'm sure that the individual would appreciate it as well. So, total net for the year, we were down 18. That is a fairly alarming figure for all of us. Basically, we were down net those that moved away. In our Bible study attendance, as you can see, it's actually up in 2012 over 2011, down 14 from 2010. Morning worship is down about 4 and 13. Evening worship down a little bit. And Wednesday was actually up a little bit. We have some areas we need to work on. As I said before, we continue to discuss the needs of this church. And that's based on what we see, what we hear, what we experience, and what you as members relate to us. We feel it's important to concentrate on building up our relationships with one another to aid in spiritual growth. Don't think that we're trying to be your social secretaries, please. That's not our role. We're here to tend to the souls of this church. But we feel like if we had some time that we could spend together outside of worship, that it would be beneficial in this spiritual growth. We've had members that have actually approached us about this, and we feel that it's important. In Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, says, "And he, Christ, himself gave some to be apostles, some to prophets, some to evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We're gonna break up, and Kyle will go in more detail. But we're going, not like we're gonna break up from our worship here and do this, but we divided the church up into what we refer to as personal work groups. And our desire is that we grow spiritually from this, because we think that's important. We think that's something we need here. We're not just trying to find a theme to put down on a piece of paper or a goal or whatever you want to call it. This is something we feel is important. The group members will be asked for input, suggestions, and participation. We hope that the entire family can be involved. We will try to hold it during times of the day and days of the week that are convenient for everyone. These will probably be held in our homes. And we hope you'll feel free to invite individuals that you may be studying with, family members that you may be studying with, neighbors, etc. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a mean old world out there, folks. And we need each other's help. The devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. You may not think you need edification. You may not think you need help, but I do. And there are other members that do. So if we could ask you to please give this a try, participate in this. We're going to strive really hard to obtain spiritual growth through this program. Call it a program or whatever you want to call it. If that's inappropriate, you can call me on it later.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Patrick. I want to start by just echoing what I have in years past. What an honor it is to work with these gentlemen, and what an honor it is to have the opportunity to serve you as an elder. I appreciate that opportunity so much. And I think we'd be remiss if we did not, as an eldership, express our appreciation to Chuck. Chuck handles a lot of our finances and statistics throughout the year, and he makes these numbers available to us, and it's such a help to us. He pays our bills as well, and we don't mention it enough, but we certainly appreciate that work that he does. As both the other brethren have mentioned, we certainly recognize, as we think about the question of where we are at Olson Park, any congregation certainly at different times has various needs that they recognize. What need do we have here? Well, as Jeff just mentioned, we as an eldership have been approached by individuals throughout this past year and at other times in which they have expressed to us that need that we as brethren, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, seem to have a need to grow closer to one another. And as we think about that particular issue, we need to recognize that in our relationship with one another in Christ, in our work together as the body of Christ, the simple fact of the matter is that we cannot grow spiritually if we don't know each other very well. You know, we recognize that Christians in the New Testament, the evidence is very clear that Christians in the New Testament spent time together with one another. For example, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, there when we have the record of what the church in Jerusalem did, right from the beginning, it tells us, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, that describes their collective worship. But then notice it says, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, Acts 2 and verse 46. We learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that while it is not the work of the church to sponsor social kinds of functions, it's not the work of the church to eat together, we could say that we have approved apostolic example here as individuals for Christians
to spend time with one another. Another example of this is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, when Paul is talking to the elders in the church in Ephesus, and as he describes what he had done when he was in Ephesus, he says, "I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you," notice, "publicly," that's in the assembly or in other kinds of public settings, "and from house to house." So again, we have this approved apostolic example of Christians spending time with each other in spiritual endeavors, in matters in which they try to grow in their work and service together. You know, there's a bit of a problem with that, though, when we recognize, unless you're talking about a congregation that is the size of a normal family, whenever you get to a congregation the size of Olson Park, you've got a little bit of a problem with size. There is really no one here that has a home that would be big enough. All of you have nice homes, and some of you have larger homes than others, but no one really has a home that would be big enough for this whole congregation to get together in your home. And you know, another issue that sometimes arises with this, there will be select kinds of groups or Bible studies or get-togethers from time to time, but there's always a little bit of a challenge with that because it's very easy for a select group by select invitation to develop or to foster some cliquishness. Or maybe there's some hurt feelings if one person was invited and another person wasn't. And so those are some problems that we need to try to think about how we can deal with and how we can overcome. You know, as we think about all things that we do as a church, we need to make certain that we act within the authority of God's Word. I appreciate the points that Brother Jeff made a moment ago. I appreciate the points that Patrick made about our desire to follow those things that are within God's Word. We recognize it is simply not the work of the church to sponsor social functions. As an eldership, we are not social directors. We are not those that are to try to schedule your social activities. However, it is the work of the church to promote spiritual growth. And if we think about what Scripture teaches about this, the text that Jeff read for us a moment ago, as it describes those leaders that the Lord has set within the local church, it describes why the Lord did that. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, it describes the Lord setting those leaders in the church for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. What does edifying mean? Edifying means building up. So those leaders within a local church, and in that text it even expands it to what the apostles and prophets had done. We don't have apostles and prophets anymore, but we do have pastors, that is, shepherds of the flock, which are elders. What is it that they are to do? They're to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. In that same passage, a little bit further down in verse 16, it describes what the goal of this is, what the objective should be, that we might be joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Notice again, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, an awful lot of that is accomplished when we come together in the assembly of the Lord's church. And we don't diminish that at all. But if this is the only time in which we spend time with one another in spiritual matters, if this is the only time in which we have any interaction with one another, I think it's evident we're not going to be what we ought to be. You know, Scripture goes further in this issue of authority. What is it that we as elders are really about? There's a text over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. As I mentioned, where Paul talks to the elders in the church in Ephesus. And I want you to listen to what he says to them. He says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Now notice this. New King James puts it, "to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now, do we think of that term shepherding simply as the sense of, well, you're the director or you're leading? Well, there's a part of that. But I want you to notice the way that the King James and the American Standard translate that term that's translated shepherd. It's literally the idea of you're pasturing them, the way a shepherd takes the sheep out to the pasture to eat. You feed the church of God. As elders, that's a great challenge, Because what we want to do, whether it's Bible classes, whether it's what's done from a pulpit, or whether it's opportunities that are given in which there can be spiritual growth, is we want to feed the flock spiritually. You know, as we look at what has been done throughout the history of the Lord's people, at least so far as history has recorded it, it is evident that history has shown that there are some great opportunities that can sometimes be provided by opportunities where folks will get together in their home in perhaps a little less formal setting, an opportunity where they can study the Bible together. For example, many of you, it was before my time somewhat, but I have heard, I don't know how many times throughout the years, about the great success that many brethren had in the 1950s with what were sometimes called cottage studies. You know, the old Jewel Miller film strips in which they go through and look at the plan of salvation, look at the different ages of the patriarchal age and the Mosaic age, and opportunities to try to influence people to practice evangelism were carried out in home studies that then would try to lead people to Christ. Some of us are probably familiar with the extreme false position that took place in the last couple of decades, sometimes referred to as the Crossroads Movement, sometimes referred to as the Boston Movement or the Discipling Movement. Now, what's interesting, that went to some extremes in which there were almost cult-like procedures, some extremes in which you had elders that presumed to have oversight over half of the country. And those things certainly were unscriptural and unauthorized. But there were some sound principles that began with some of the ideas they were trying to promote. If you're not familiar with that, some of it started with an effort to try to practice evangelism. And they recognized sometimes it's a little bit easier to study with someone when you're sitting down with them in your home than it is to try to get them into an assembly such as this. Now, they went too far when they then began to say, well, these are house churches and we're going to have elders over house churches. Well, that's an unscriptural kind of concept. A church could meet in someone's house, but you don't have a local congregation splitting up into separate house churches. The principle, though, we need to recognize. Sometimes it is much easier to study one-on-one with someone, to get to know someone in a spiritual context, to be able to open up to each other about some problem that you're having, to try to grow spiritually when you're in a context in which it's outside of this assembly. Again, we're not trying to diminish the assembly, but it's recognizing that often, as we saw in Acts chapter 20, remember, Paul publicly and from house to house taught those in Ephesus. The elders this year have chosen that what we'd like our focus to be is growing stronger together. You know, we struggle with knowing how to express that. Does the church have a theme? Does the church have a goal or a focus? Well, I think it's appropriate that from time to time we look at the needs of a local congregation and decide, well, let's work on this. That's the idea. Throughout this year, through this approach that we're going to discuss with you, we want to try to see what we can do as a congregation to grow stronger spiritually together. How are we going to try to do that? Well, as Jeff mentioned, we're going to try something that we're going to refer to as personal work groups. When we had some folks that approached us this past year about what they perceived to be needs within this congregation, as we as an eldership were discussing, well, how could we address that? I happened to mention to the elders something that during the 10 years that I was preaching in Lenexa, Kansas, the congregation there did. This is not my idea. It was, in fact, something that they were already doing before I even moved there. What they would do is they would have what they referred to as personal work groups. Those groups would, the congregation would be divided up, not alphabetically, not by any kind of method like that, but ways in which perhaps you're giving people an opportunity to get to know one another that didn't otherwise, or an opportunity in which maybe some that are older in the faith can encourage some that are younger in the faith. At the time that I remember, we had two deacons. I was one of the deacons, and we had two elders. We had four groups at that time, and we would divide them up where each of the men was leading one of the groups. And the way that it would work out is we would meet once a month in the home of one of the members, and there was a lot of flexibility with it. Sometimes that would involve a Bible study that one group would have. Sometimes they would choose to have a singing. Sometimes it might be that they would decide if there was a gospel meeting that was coming up that they would have, they'd pass out flyers or other kinds of things like that. As an eldership here, what we would like to do throughout this next year is to offer three groups. And we have posted in the foyer, I've already put up the little flyer and already put up the groups as we've divided them for this next year. Three groups that are each led by one of the elders. These groups will meet once a month. Again, as Jeff mentioned, it will be flexible. You know, if one group has folks that this particular time is just not good for them, they can work that out. If it's something in which one member of the group wants to offer it in their home, there can be some flexibility there. If one of the members wants to teach it, the leaders of the group can coordinate that, the times that they'll meet. But they'll try once a month to do something of a spiritual nature, whether it's a Bible study, whether it is a singing. Maybe it's such that there are needs within that group where maybe there's great struggles that are going on. You know, as Jeff mentioned, some of the hardships that his family's had over the last couple of months. Maybe there would be a time in which the group just needs to get together and just pray about some of the things that are going on in the lives of those individual members. This could be something in which, again, if there's a gospel meeting, maybe you'll get together on a Saturday and hand out flyers for that gospel meeting. It can be something. We have before gotten some individuals together, and I know Sister Evans that's in a nursing home, gone and done a singing at the nursing home, or gone to visit those who are shut-ins, and there are opportunities that way. It can be something in which if perhaps much the way at the InTouch groups function, you decide that you want to send some cards to those who are struggling. This can be a personal kind of choice, and each group can decide some of those things. And it can also be something. Maybe there is someone that you've been working with. Maybe there's someone you've been trying to bring to the truth, and you've been teaching them. Well, you're having a hard time getting them to services. That's the ultimate goal. But maybe you can bring them to one of these studies. And the groups can make choices about what those topics will be if you know, well, I'm going to bring a visitor this time. Can we deal with this thing that could be of help to them? There are a lot of ways in which we can grow together. Each year, these groups will be shuffled around. So if you happen to be in a group this year that you look at and you think, well, I don't, I would have preferred to be in this group. Well, it'll change and it'll shuffle around. And we want to emphasize as well, this is something in which we hope that both adults and kids will participate. My children, I think, can attest as we engaged in some of these efforts in Kansas City. There would be children that would sit in these studies or sit in these singings. Maybe they'd lead singing. Maybe they'd read a scripture. But it was something in which they got to engage in this, maybe even offer a comment or a question that they might not feel comfortable asking in another kind of venue, but something in which there's an opportunity such as this. Now, I want us to recognize that as we talk about this and we think about this, there are going to be some challenges that this presents. You know, first of all, this is something that's new and different. Olson Park, in the 7 years that I have been here, has never done anything like this. I don't know if in years past there has been anything similar to that, but this is absolutely something. As I mentioned, I didn't push this idea, but I just said, well, this is something that we did there, and the other elders began to take some interest and thought, well, this might be something that could address this need, but we've never done it here before. Are we going to think about this and think, well, what are the possibilities? Is this something that could be of help to us? Is this something that could help us through the needs that we see or the problems that we see? It's new and different. And we have to rise to be willing to do something new and different. And that will take each of us perhaps out of our comfort zone. You know, it may be that we have not done that before, and I don't know how comfortable I am going into someone's home, or I don't know how comfortable I am having them into my home. You know, we need to recognize that that is something that's going to demand some kindness and consideration. When someone is hospitable enough to open up their home to us, we need to recognize we can't be critical of their furniture. We can't be critical of the way that they decorate their house. We can't be critical of whatever it may be. That's kind of a vulnerable thing sometimes if you haven't engaged in that. But as Christians, we love each other. And as Christians, we need to be considerate of one another and recognize, you know, we're all different. We're all different levels financially. We're all different levels in terms of interests and backgrounds. But there's a lot of kindness and consideration that needs to go into this. You know, it may be that within this congregation, you think about this, and when you look at the list back there, you may say, well, you know, I'm in that group with so-and-so. We had that conflict in the past, or we don't really get along. You know, as Christians, we need to recognize, and I appreciate what Jeff said earlier, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We love each other. We're striving to go to heaven together. If we've had difficulties in the past, we need to work through those things. And I hope that this will be an opportunity, perhaps, in which maybe that door is open, that avenue is set, where you can work through that difficulty. But that'll be a challenge. I recognize it'll be difficult. But we've got to recognize, what are we in this for? What is this all about? This isn't a social club. This isn't a political party. We are members of the Lord's church because we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And having been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord added us to His church universally. And those of you who are a member of the Olson Park Church of Christ identified yourself with one another because we are striving together as those saved by the blood of Christ to continue on that course to heaven that we might remain faithful. We're trying to help each other go to heaven. And I would challenge each of us as we think about this, let's grow stronger together in that process. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, over to Romans chapter 12. And I want us to end with a passage of Scripture that I think sets down for us some powerful principles that as Christians we need to think about. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to offer you an opportunity to do just that. Would you not this morning put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Confess that faith before those who are here. Repent and turn away from sin that would separate you from God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, there's some way in which you've let the world get a hold of you again, you've turned back to sin, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, we count it a privilege to pray to God on your behalf and to encourage you to restored faithfulness. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?